Matthew chapter 10, verses 17 to 22. Jesus said to his disciples, "Beware of men, for they will hand you over to courts and scourge you in their synagogues, and you will be led before governors and kings for my sake as a witness before them and the pagans. They will hand you over. Do not worry about how you are to speak or what you're to say. You will be given at that moment what you're to say. For it will not be you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Brother will hand over brother to death, father his child. Children will rise up against parents and have them put to death. You will be hated by all because of my name. But whoever endures to the end will be saved." And so the gospel promise of the Lord. Normally, during these Christmas days, I set aside the question of Advent season and just let the wonder of Christmas mystery and fill my days with beauty and excitement. This year, I've allowed the questions around the mystery of the Incarnation from Advent, the Lord's coming among us, to continue, as I have caused to set aside the comfort of my habitual religious and political viewpoints. Given the transition that's taking place in our government and our world, I find that many issues that I have assumed were decided are now being renegotiated. Maybe that's a good thing. My political, economic, and social views are being challenged and changed. My public comfort zone is often at odds with the challenge given to us by Jesus, and certainly with the teachings of our Catholic heritage. However, over time, I've made my choices and built a sort of comfort zone around my life. That's up for questions again. Now, many of my choices and preferred opinions will need to be renegotiated. Rather than let the overwhelming celebration of Christmas distract me and certainly comfort me, I've chosen to let the radical concerns of Advent live on through this time. Today's feast of St. Stephen encourages me in my project. We're called upon to give witness. Matthew's Gospel for the feast tells us, "You will be given at that moment what you are to say." So I spend these days testing, exploring, trying to find my voice amid new circumstances. In my search and questioning, I've been helped by the reflections of a rabbi, Michael Lerner. He runs a Center for Spiritual Progressive Tikkun out of Oakland, California. Again and again, just like an Old Testament prophet, he points out how the spiritual dimension is missing all across the political and economic spectrum. In a time in which we're being forced to renegotiate our economic, social, and political choices, some of Michael's thoughtful observations are extremely helpful. He would suggest that what we need is a larger frame of reference, which includes the spiritual, as we fashion the practical conditions that control our world. He suggests that the capitalist message alone blinds us to the possibility of making the choices that will reflect the deeper desires of our souls. And here I quote, "People are suffering," he says, "because they have absorbed the capitalist message. You live in a meritocracy, so you get what you deserve, and if you haven't achieved the level of success you want, it's your fault. Moreover, everyone is out for himself or herself, so you have to maximize your own self-interest, regardless of its impact on others." Close quotation. Reading through his work, I find some of the questions that we need to ask as we try to put together a spiritual response that will effectively speak to the present needs of our world. Rabbi Michael is unsurpassing as he calls attention to the lack of a spiritual response to the world's deepest needs, and even our personal desires for a sense of fulfillment and comfort. Globalization, monetary control by 1% of the population, and the substitution of normative psychology for real moral choices is the frame reference we're offered. I love this insight when speaking about liberals as they confront political disagreement. And here I quote Michael again, "It is so much easier to demean those with whom we disagree than to try to understand their legitimate grievances, even if the way they articulate those grievances are irrational and scary." Well, how do we respond with religious concern to such an assertion as this? The median net worth fell for every group in the U.S. between 1998 and 2013, except for one, the wealthiest 10%. Working class Americans saw their net worth decline in that period by a staggering 53%. Meanwhile, the richest 10% got 75% richer. The wealthiest 10% of U.S. households own 76% of all the wealth in America. Wow. Too often, too many choices in economic and political life are determined by the old bottom line rather than the common good. As I allow these and other assertions, along with surprises that will inevitably arise in the immediate future, I need to take advantage of the occasion to discover how my values as a Christian can find practical expression in the time ahead. We start with the study and prayer of not a new data. I need to pay closer attention to what is really going on, expand my awareness, and redesign my responses to meet new and, in many cases, dramatically expanded circumstances. So for Christmas this year, I see myself entering a time of profound reorientation if I'm to place my small life between the consequences of the birth of the Son of God and a host of rapidly changing new circumstances that are threatening and quite indifferent to the message of the newborn Savior and the love that he brings. As a pastor, I look for practical responses. Certainly prayer and study are a good starting point. Dialogue with people who do not share our preferences. Active service to those who are materially poor and do not share the benefits we enjoy. Making connection with a specific missionary project in some foreign land across the world to have a practical effect, even in a very small way, in the lives of our brothers and sisters throughout the world. We need to come to life in a variety of ways in order to give witness to the deeper meaning of the opportunities that this time presents. Christ is born among us and for all peoples, and we're trying to share that promise that he brings and the life of love that he enacts for all times, peoples, and circumstances. He is born again, and indeed he is truly our Savior, who brings us to life in the service and love of all our brothers and sisters, and in praise of the Father and God of all life. May Christmas blessings find a rich expression in your heart in these days of challenge and yet of promise.